Hi, I'm Mayor Myers. I want to talk a little bit about this upcoming Venus retrograde in December, beginning on the 19th, going through to the 27th of January. But let's begin with talking a little bit about what retrogrades are, so we're all on the same page. So, we all know that planets don't go backwards, they don't literally change direction in the sky, but there's this appearance that they slow down, pause, and then start going back. And this is a phenomenon that we experience also when we're on trains. If you imagine that you're on a train, there's a train next to you. We've all had that experience, a bit like an optical illusion, where it feels like we're going backwards because of the train outside going at a different speed. And this is the same with planets, because Earth is not at the center of the solar system. We have the Sun, and then we have Mercury, then we have Venus, and then we have Earth. Sometimes it appears that planets are going at a different speed to ours, to the naked eye. Of course, we can't see them directly with our own eye. But if we looked through a telescope, we'd be able to see that they are appearing to go a different direction. So this is what retrograde motion is. It's not a literal thing. It's more of a kind of, let's call it symbolic, or more of a kind of experience that we have where the consciousness is not so progressive. It's more inward, and it's like an interiorization of consciousness, where we take our experiences and process them more inside. And there's a difference between the, let's say, the personal planets, which are things like Venus and Mars, and then also the outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. They are more collective and archetypal, whereby the personal planets have a more direct experience on us directly. So, when a planet is going in its normal motion, it is called direct. And when it's appearing to go backwards, it's retrograde. And of course, they rarely go backwards. They don't, they're usually going forwards. But these retrograde times are like a kind of a time when we need to review and reevaluate, readjust all of the re's really our lives in different ways. So Venus doesn't do many retrogrades. She's not, like Mercury, which goes retrograde about 3 times a year. She goes retrograde every 18 months or so. So she has a kind of more pronounced retrograde period than, say, Mercury. And when she does go backwards in the sky, the important thing is that she's going to form a conjunction with the Sun. And there's two different types of conjunction. There are inferior conjunctions, and there's also a superior conjunction. And we'll talk more about that later. But these are very key points in the retrograde process of Venus. So, as she's going retrograde in the sky, which happens perhaps only 9% of her time, we also see that she's forming like a pattern, which is known as the synodic cycle. And this is a very consistent, symmetrical, precise harmonic pattern and rhythm. And it's important because this shape that she forms is like a five-pointed star. And we also see this in the inside of an apple, if we cut it horizontally, We also see it in the rose as well. And she forms like a rose in the sky through these retrograde periods as well. This is where we also get the pentagram from as well. So this cycle is for 40 days, which mirrors the 40 weeks of human gestation and the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. There's also 40 weeks between the two different conjunctions, which we'll talk about later, of Venus and the Sun. So this 40 days is quite a key point for lots of different reasons and at lots of different levels. She also only, at the moment, is only making these retrogrades in five different signs. These are Aries, Gemini, Leo, Scorpio, and Capricorn. So we're only going to experience retrogrades in these signs. And it will stay in these groups for approximately around 100 years. So from our perspective on Earth, Venus is actually forming this very beautiful, striking pattern in only these signs. So if you have planets in those signs, then that makes a big difference. And if you have aspects to these signs, it will also really impact you. Now, as Venus forms this five-pointed star, we have the number five emphasized. And five is connected to the higher mind because it's not divisive. It's also a unity number which allows the connection between heaven and earth. We also have this connection with eight as well. And eight is the infinity loop. It's connected into the sign of Cancer. And it's also a bridging energy, a relational energy. And she's weaving these beautiful patterns in the sky that's repetitive and consistent. And this is because she's weaving together also timelines. She's weaving together the past, the future, and the present. And so there's a real sense of karma and destiny, maybe even fate, with Venus and her retrograde cycles. Certainly we can see Venus as a whole, as non-divisive, as a unifying force for our planet. And especially as the Earth is also a feminine planet, we have this particular connection with Venus. Venus also moves in 8-year cycles. So each time she retrogrades, we are reconnected with the same period of time 8 years previously to this cycle. So, for example, the previous cycle was December 2013. And so going back to that time and seeing what was happening to you then can be relevant for what's happening in this cycle. So if there's any karma or unfinished business or even repeating patterns and themes, these can reoccur now to get completion and a kind of sense of moving forwards and moving on. The other dates connecting to this Venus cycle are December 2005 and December 1997 and December 1989, all in Capricorn, moving through into Aquarius. Now, just like the moon, Venus has phases of being either full or new, which brings again this connection with the feminine, this sense of being pregnant or also being contracted in. So with each retrograde cycle, we have a transition then from the evening star to the morning star and back to the evening star. And so this isn't a straightforward kind of thing to understand. It's not necessary for you to really understand it, but if you can wrap your head around it, it's helpful. So if you imagine that when Venus is new and retrograde, she is forming an inferior, or also known as an interior, conjunction with the Earth and the Sun. What this actually means is that Venus is on the visible side of the Sun, facing the Earth during this alignment. And when Venus is full, she's making a superior, or known as an exterior, conjunction. And this means that she is on the far or non-visible side of the Sun. And this kind of also connects into this above, below, the idea that there's this great above and this great below as aspects of one reality, and you can't have one without the other. And of course, this also connects to this idea of dark and light, and the above ground and the underground. And we'll be moving a little bit into talking about the myth of Inanna. You can also connect the myth of Isis into this as well. But these are very foundational aspects of the divine feminine consciousness that we're also all trying to reconnect to at this time. And the other aspects of Venus's divine feminine connection is this idea of her relationship to Eros, or to desire, this magnetic appeal or quality, because of this kind of aesthetic symmetry that she's creating in the sky. We have this sense then of being drawn in, being drawn back in to our relationships, and how they form part of this attractor force field that we have between one and another, this unity, this connection that we all hold as one in a way. And so she's very much connected into the whole matrix, this idea of illusion, because desire is also part of that. And we're trying to break free from desire on this planet. This is a desire planet. And so it's trying to draw us deeper into what is beyond desire. And this is very much connected into the myth of Inanna and her letting go of all of those adornments as she goes deep into the underworld. With Venus, we have the astrological signs of Libra and Taurus, because these are the signs she rules. For Libra, this is all about, of course, forming relationships between things, between people, and maintaining a kind of harmony. It's also about balancing the scales in some sort of way. And when we're looking also at Taurus, we're looking at this idea of being in the presence, in the moment, and our connections to resources. Because Taurus energy is the second house, and we're looking at here the first resource, which is our body, and then all the other resources that emanate out from that. Well, maybe the first resource is our divine aspect, actually, and everything from that space. But of course, with this idea of resources, what we have is this connection to how sufficiently we can be self-sufficient, and how we orientate around what we hold dear to us. And when we come into a retrograde period with Venus, we're beginning to reevaluate those things that we feel make us sufficient, whether that's our self-worth or whether it's our finances. It's where we are dependent, really. And that dependency obviously can hold us back in many ways. It can stop us being able to feel sovereign and free. And so we're learning to have a deeper intimacy and emotional connection within our own relationship with ourselves and with others, and everything that we have a relationship to, and looking at the deeper dimension around these relationships and how they can support us or also hold us back. So during this time, we ultimately have things up for transformation, things up for change, renewal, rebirth, rejuvenation. This is really what we're here to do at this time. And this is because really we are going deeper into our capacity for love, really. All types of love, self-love to our love for others, and understanding what really love is about. And so we're maturing in this space of understanding what love is for us. And sometimes that will require completing the past, completing and renewing ourselves so we can have more transpersonal love as opposed to just this personal love in our lives. And so ultimately, when we are on this journey of sovereignty and transpersonal love, which doesn't exclude having intimate, loving relationships with others, it includes that, but it's not in spite of it. We have to know that sometimes we have to forsake, sacrifice, and lose things that we thought were what our life was actually about in order to really discover what true love is really about. And so in this way, we are exploring this whole territory of beginning and end. You know, we have this idea that we come into a body, that's the beginning. We leave the body and that's the end. But actually, this whole arena of love, this whole field of love is way beyond any beginning and end. It's infinite. And that's what we're learning, really. But we have to learn it through our experiences. We can't just hold that in our heads and know that to be the truth. We need to have the experience of it through our bodies. And what is taking away that experience, really, also purifying, transmuting what doesn't support us to have that experience inside of ourselves and in our lives. And part of that is having to learn to let go and to journey to uncomfortable places, to the underworld, and to really, I don't know, also kind of let things die, let parts of ourselves die that weren't really who we are, but we thought, you know, was who we are. And this can be a painful time. It can be a time when we suffer, but we're not, suffering and pain isn't really from the sovereign space. It's the, let's call it the ego, you know, or concepts of ourselves that are just illusions, and we are here to not invest in those illusions now at this time on the planet, but to break these cycles of pain, because really they just hold us in place and they recycle the suffering, the deeper suffering within that we try and, you know, avoid, distract ourselves from, and drown out in our lives. When we really also pay attention to our suffering and to our hearts, we actually begin to draw a close to that cycle when we really take ourselves seriously and show up for ourselves. We're giving ourselves a renewal and we're allowing new energy to come in because we are reviewing our lives and our decisions and our intentions and things that we have put into, you know, direction, into emotion without really realizing why and what's in control of that. Because we all know this sort of people, we've seen them in our lives perhaps, who hold on to unresolved emotional pain. And they just, it goes deeper every year if it's not resolved. And eventually it gets to a place where it forms, you know, illness. And if we aren't prepared to release that deeper pain, then we will inevitably play that out in our relationships and create more chaos and destruction in our lives. So this Venus retrograde cycle is really about learning how to break through so that we can really soften and open our hearts. So this is all connected into the myth of Inanna, and I won't go into that here now, but I will put some details of that myth below so that you can read it in your own time and integrate that and see how it makes sense for you in your own lives. So now let's break down some of the events of this Venus retrograde cycle, the whole cycle in fact. So if we begin with the 26th of March 2021, when Venus was in Aries, and this was the last exterior conjunction that she had with the Sun. Okay, and so we can see this as the time when Inanna had her reunion with her consort and her beloved. And this occurred obviously in the sign of Aries, which is the ram, which is, you know, a fitting sign for Inanna's beloved, who was a shepherd. And we can see this as an inner development of this current cycle now, really, which obviously includes this idea of the warrior of Mars, of Aries. And so we've got to pay attention to how this energy is directed and managed in our own lives and how we bring it forwards or how we don't bring it forwards, how we go into more passive energies. So this is quite important. And then let's come to the 4th of May 2021. This is when Venus was visible as the evening star. And she stays visible then for 7 months, or you could say 7 new moons, until the 29th of October 2021, when Inanna, or Venus, reaches her highest point in the sky and then gradually begins to descend to the horizon until she disappears entirely on the 3rd of January 2022. So there are approximately around 7 weeks from her highest point in the sky to when she turns retrograde, officially on the 19th of December. And this is the point when Inanna actually enters the underworld and begins to journey through those 7 gates, which are known as the 7 chakras as well. So on the 7th of December 2021, Inanna Venus reaches her maximum brilliance in her prime as queen and is in her full authority. The 9th of November 2021 to the 3rd of March 2022, these are the two dates which represent the edges of the portions of the zodiac which Venus goes backwards and forwards between as she goes retrograde and then goes direct. So the important dates within all of this really are the 19th of December to then the conjunction on the 9th of January. And this 9th of January is the date when she has her meeting with Eresh Kigal, which is like an ego death point when she encounters her and then her own inner light is obscured because of this conjunction again with the sun. Her light is obscured by the sun's light. And this is a time when all of our really old emotional baggage that we've ignored or repressed can really resurface. So it's a time when we really need to be aware that we can feel more vulnerable or more emotional. It's the time when she was given the Eye of Death. And this obviously is this point of kind of clarity, very clear, and it can be a very penetrating time when nothing is obscured and we see things for truly what they are. And if we see this in the context of what's happening on the planet, we could also see it as a time when people begin to truly awaken to the reality of what is happening on the planet right now, as opposed to denying or resisting or distracting themselves. They have no longer any choice but to see it for what it is, as in, let's say, relationship to their own lives. There might be things happening in their own lives that is waking them up to that realization. So this is an important point, but it's not the end of the retrograde time. After the 9th of January, after this conjunction with the sun, Venus is then new. Remember what I was saying about her being new Venus? And as this new Venus, morning star, when she's hanging on that peg, dead, this is a time when we really need to sit with ourselves and sense what is happening deep within us and really not engage with the world outside and any drama, but really stay close to who we really are and what we feel and begin to bear witness to what's inside. Venus officially becomes the morning star on the 14th of January. So between the 9th of January and the 14th, this can be a real deep, difficult time when we're really very close to truth and reality. And then as the 14th of January comes and Venus is in her morning star, this is a time when Inanna in the myth was revived by the waters of life and she rises from the underworld and she returns to life from this deep dive. And there's another set of events that then transpire with her beloved who has to go down to the underworld as her replacement and does so with his sister. And this, of course, is another kind of, let's call it a kind of initiation for Inanna, because this is also a time when she grieves her beloved. But of course, her heart that was perhaps hardened through her pain of seeing her beloved, you know, unaware and unaffected by her own grief, was then released and softened through her own realization that, you know, it's not about him. It wasn't ever about him. It's her own experience and her own suffering that is actually the most important thing. And so actually here there is a, let's say, ceasing of the recycling of the history, because he's sent down into the underworld, but not permanently. There is some kind of sacrifice, but there's also a kind of release in that he's not permanently there. He's able to come back for half of the year. So when we begin to really pay attention to our own heart, our own needs, we begin to really make it less likely that others are going to do to us, or we will do to them, repeating from our own pain and suffering. Now with this conjunction on the 9th of January, we are all infused with the energies of Capricorn, and this obviously continues through to the second conjunction, the superior or exterior conjunction of Venus and the Sun on the 22nd of October 2022. And this is when the Sun is between Earth and Venus, and it is a full Venus, as opposed to the new Venus that we are getting now. This is the evening star Venus, the full Venus. As Venus turns retrograde on the 19th of December, just before the solstice on the 21st, which is like a standing still point of the Sun when the Sun is still at 0 degrees Capricorn, which is at 3:59 in the afternoon. And some people see this as a time of the year beginning in some traditions, actually. So it's a special point happening just before the solstice, this Venus retrograde. It's a special day. But it's also a special day because Chiron also turns direct on the 19th of December, which suggests that this is a time when we can really tune into more healing for ourselves and for the planet, and that December can be a powerful time for these other dimensional levels which Chiron opens us up to come closer into our reality. With this Chiron direct, I feel that we are being given an opportunity to really discover what true connection and unity is about. And also, because Chiron is journeying through Aries, the individual I am, and of course Aries is connected to Mars, Mars being its ruler, and Mars is connected to the body. So we have like a bit of a download from all of these other dimensional connections with other star galaxies, this higher cosmic consciousness that needs to connect through into this 3D reality that we are in. And so my sense is that everything that's left behind in the 4D, all of the emotional baggage, the unresolved loss and grief, it just needs to be fully processed so that this gateway, this portal can begin to open up for us to get more of this high frequency connection from our 3D bodies. That's very important. And so I feel there's a kind of real deep deep theme of really working with the body in this Venus retrograde period, as well as our relationships as well. It's also important to note that this Venus retrograde, while it's not re-triggering the Saturn-Pluto conjunction or any of the other conjunctions that happened over the last couple of years, it is still occurring in Capricorn, where there's been a lot of activity, where the focus has really been, actually. So there is a kind of potential for the past couple of years to be reactivated in our lives, or for the ripple effect of that Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter conjunctions. Again, another level opening up in this Venus retrograde cycle. With this Sun Venus in Capricorn, what we have there is a real focus on Venus, because of course Saturn, being the ruler of Capricorn, is exalted in Libra, which we know rules Venus. So this is quite a strong placement, actually, for Venus, where she has access to a lot of integrity, that Capricorn strength, that kind of commitment to two things, to not giving way, to being quite uncompromising when she needs to be. So there's a lot of dignity and realism and fortitude in this Venus retrograde cycle. And I feel that people are getting reconnected into this, because they need to go deep within and have this long Venus cycle in Capricorn to really get a sense of their true values, to what really matters, to this sense of even faith in their values, faith in what matters. And this Capricorn is really, I feel, bringing out the deeper maturity of Venus. It's not about giving way to the lower desires that Venus can get pulled into, you know, the attractions, the lightness. All of this is not relevant for Capricorn. Capricorn's focus is on what really counts, what matters, the heart of the matter. And so there's a growing up period over these last next few months as well. It can be a very reflective, even depressing time, you know, where we feel very inward, where we feel like we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We're taking on a lot more responsibility, especially perhaps in our relationships, in our parenting, in everything, where perhaps, you know, before it didn't have that sort of sense of life and death, but now the game has been upped to the next level and we have no choice but to really nuttle down and into what's important for us going forwards, what we want to stand by and what we are not prepared to compromise on anymore. So it's quite goal orientated. It has a bit of a mission for itself here. But I feel the important thing here is to really pick up this sense of responsibility. When I drew up the chart for this Venus retrograde, Saturn was right on the ascendant. This is the start time of Venus retrograde. So this is a double, triple, quadruple dose of Saturn. And again, we've got realism here. You know, you can't avoid it anymore. It's unavoidable. You can't deny anything anymore. It's staring you in the face. Saturn can also mean restrictions. You can feel more squeezed in to a corner, into a box, and restricted and constricted in that sense, and repressed, suppressed. But this isn't necessarily a bad thing. When we begin to really feel like we can't move anywhere and we're not free, we've got to look at why. How did we get there? Is it an internal process that we need to look at? Is it external? Is it both? How are they related? And this internal and external, moving from the full to the new, like the full moon and the new moon, the in and the out, the up and the down, is really what sovereignty is all about. How do we connect the polarities? How do we bring things together and create harmony between these extremes and spectrums of ourselves, of the whole of reality, of consciousness? This is the heart of the matter here. So Saturn is supporting us to do this, but by taking us into uncomfortable spaces. And we need to get comfortable with the uncomfortable. On a more mundane level, Saturn can bring delays. It can also bring a sense of things not going to plan. And feeling like you have no idea where you're going, because with Venus retrograde, there's a reorientation, a reevaluation of what was currently progressing in a certain direction. Now, the really important event that is happening in December is the conjunction of Venus with Pluto. And of course, Pluto is also the lord of the underworld. We also have Venus going to the underworld anyway when she retrogrades. So we have an extreme situation made more extreme, more pushing, more forcing, more intensity, more complexity. And of course, from that, we have more potential, there's more we can access. The harder things become, the more challenging, the more we can grow. It's often the case. Of course, it can go the other way as well. We can fall into a pile of ashes on the floor for some time, and this is to be expected right now. But again, we will rebirth as Venus does, and we will come back to that empowered space. But Pluto brings a very interesting quality in. It's so interesting that we have this Saturn emphasis here and a Pluto emphasis. And of course, we had Saturn-Pluto conjunction in January 2020, which kicked off everything that we're experiencing now. So they've been working very closely with all of these personal planets for the last few years, couple of years. And Pluto brings in this quality of repression, transformation, and a kind of deeper, darker, more shadowy, and more even paranoid aspect of this Venus retrograde time. This Venus conjunction with Pluto isn't happening once in December. We have a kind of massive extended period of this Venus-Pluto conjunction here, because she obviously is slowing down and preparing to turn retrograde on Pluto. So we here are in for quite a kind of interesting holiday period. There should be a lot of hidden aspects emerging, being revealed in our personal lives, in our personal relationship with ourselves. And we can really expect to have some sort of intense relationship material emerging from this time. With Capricorn, we have this focus on structure as well, the structure of the family, the structure of traditions, family traditions even. And this kind of hierarchical, or maybe even roles in our relationships, how we've been placed into certain roles of scapegoat. For example, you'll know your role in your family dynamics. These are all up for shifting about, being spoken about, exposed, perhaps even, or you'll become more aware of your role. And it might not be the role you thought it was. Maybe this role is beginning to change and open up, and you're beginning to see it from a different perspective, which can be very freeing as well. The main quality of Venus and Pluto together is obsession. And we can get very obsessed in our relationships and focused on, you know, another, fulfilling our own desire. But this is not a time to project and blame and move our energy outwards. With Venus retrograde again, we're moving our energy more inside to look at what is happening within us. And so we're beginning to look maybe at how we've been controlled, how certain family dynamics or people can stifle and make us feel like we have no room for maneuver. And so manipulation can also be a part of this. And exposing and talking about these things can be deeply healing at this time. We can really move through a lot of this old karmic stuff that we perhaps haven't had that dynamic force available or the awareness yet in our lives to really address and go and make the change, either in an action or through words or through just our awareness to begin with. But this is all kind of enmeshed in this big soup, and we've got to, our job is to pull out and feel in to where it's trying to, all the different levels it's trying to change us in our own lives. Capricorn is also very work-focused, work-orientated. So it can be a time when our kind of goals, our ambitions, what gives us a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives is up for re-evaluation and change. We might be digging deeper into, you know, what actually counts, what feels more important. Before it was that direction, and now it feels like something different or newer or deeper is opening up. And so we have to be prepared to really let go, and really let go of those things that we are holding on to that are not really supporting the deeper us. If we don't let go, then we will just get more and more lessons, and they'll get bigger and bigger until we cannot avoid it anymore. So gently letting things go, letting your reorientation change, letting things decay as they need to, can really, like as in winter, you know, things need to die in order for new things to be reborn. The trees know this inherently, and we know inherently. We haven't been taught it, so we have to relearn this process of facing our fears, facing what is uncomfortable, and letting the new reality emerge, because we don't need to be scared of what the new reality is. This is what Saturn is trying to teach us here by being on the ascendant of this Venus retrograde, you know, teach us about the reality and the truth, and to really trust in those things making us happier in the long run. So we might need to sacrifice outer relationships for this inner relationship, for standing for our own reality and understanding this is the descent, this is what it's about. The values that we cherished, that we held dear, might not be what's really making us feel good anymore. You know, they might be easy, they might be comfortable, but they they don't really serve and fulfill us as we now need. And this is the natural realignment that this Venus retrograde is going to bring. While it can be natural and organic, or it can be forced. And that is down to us and our steadfastness, our commitment to ourselves, and what really counts. So we can trust this time for seeds being planted in our lives, and that there can be a kind of dissolving of the boundaries between things that felt important. This illusion of separateness is kind of dissolving itself, letting go. And while we can feel we're being stripped away, or we're shredding our skin, depending on how you view it, this more fuller understanding of life will emerge from this space. So we can trust the decrease, we can trust the letting go, and we can risk sacrificing those things. In the more mundane sense, Venus retrograde is often a time when relationships do end, and we need to be prepared for those endings. This is the reality. It's a test of long-term relationships, and if they don't withstand the test, they are not made of the stuff that we require to go forward in our lives. So this is important, this scrutiny of relationships, of our emotional processes, is required for us to get clear going forwards on what it is we really need in our lives. This sense of boundaries that Saturn also highlights is very much in the Inanna journey. At every border, every chakra, every gate, she has to let go of something. And so these thresholds kind of really represent our relationship with consciousness itself. Some of us tend to have too stricter boundaries and borders, and some of us have to really have stronger boundaries and borders. Our relationship can be one where we fall into that sort of infinite non-separateness and feel like we're being swallowed up, or we can have too tight a borders. And either way, we've got to understand that the way that we can flow and be fluid in our own sense of identity, this watery flowing energy moving between separateness and this sense of unity, is kind of this more feminine consciousness that's trying to have its equal place with the masculine. And so we can really get more in touch with this, I think, with Saturn on that ascendant. It's asking us to really look at that. There's no tidy borders anymore in this feminine consciousness. You know, it's not about definition of this or that, you know. And we can see how much things like to be defined and labelled and have been over the last couple of years. But this is dying a death. The edges and the boundaries need to be more permeable, with more space, more opening. So while it feels like life is falling apart around us, it might feel like that, and that we have to maintain our control, and everyone's got this cognitive dissonance, and they're holding on, and they're trying to maintain their lives as they were. Really, this space of things needing to fall apart, we've got an opening, an opportunity to become more, to accept more in our lives, to be more, and to find more value in what it is that's really there, as opposed to how we want it to be. And when we begin to really face our lives with more patience, with more depth, with more trust, with more sharing and more life-affirming, letting go of needing to be active and doing all the time, but allowing ourselves to really support the inner world and to trust this in and out, then, and the process, then we're more in touch with our sovereign nature. What's not going to work is if we are resistant to this deep calling to go within and down and to connect with those places we fear. What's also not going to work is if we polarize and project and we blame and we scapegoat and we say that pain is just a pathology and that, you know, we can just deny our process, pretend it's not there, distract ourselves with drugs and alcohol. This is clearly not going to work now. And it's going to increasingly become more unavoidable. So some of the dates that we need to watch out for during this period are the 23rd of December, which is when the nodal axis changes from Gemini Sagittarius to Taurus Scorpio, and the shift is taking us then into a space of keeping things more grounded, more in the body and simpler, and disengaging with all that complexity, intensity of the Scorpio energy. On the 24th of December, we have the Saturn-Uranus final and third square. And this is quite an important event. Of course, they will come close to being in square again in 2022, so it's not complete by any means. But we can expect that this is kind of giving us a bit of a opener to what we can experiencing next year as well in 2022. So with Uranus and Saturn there, we have Uranus about can have a sort of sense of collapse and things changing quite quickly on the Saturn effect of things wanting to stay the same and be held in place. So again, this is quite a time when things can feel like they're going in a completely different direction to what they were previously. So we have to really learn to trust again and to open up to what we didn't know. I think also with this Saturn-Uranus, we have this continual sense of adaption and shifting ground and territory. And we have to be prepared that, you know, we can't have things perfect as we want them. We are letting things adapt and move and change and shift, break down, crack at their foundations and then rebuild, but not being able to get things working as we would like them to be. It's not the time for that right now. It's not really possible right now. We have to work with what we actually have. So this is quite an important time. December's quite intense for that reason. 27th of December, we have Jupiter squaring that nodal axis as well. And so we might see more shifts as well at that particular time. And Jupiter gives a sense of fullness and emptiness as well. So there can be more unexpected opportunities, I feel, coming in with that. So it's not all difficult and challenging. It could also feel like an opening as well. On the 29th of December, Jupiter enters Pisces, which he will sojourn till the 23rd of May 2022, when he will briefly enter into Aries. And this is a time of feeling like there's a more light, more connected, unified energy. However, it can also be a time when people go back into denial and a non-reality, alternate realities as well. But I think we'll be moving between these two spectrums for a while into next year. On the 2nd of January, we have the new moon, which is the first new moon of the year, and just after the new year. So that's also quite significant and a good time to do some new moon rituals. And finally, when we're thinking about how this really affects us personally in our own charts, we need to take some things into consideration. Firstly, where are the points and planets in our charts, and how are they affected directly by Venus, Pluto, and Saturn and Uranus as well, to some extent, as this December period unfolds and into January? So you can also look at where that Venus retrograde is taking place in your own chart. If you know the time of birth, then you will know the house that Venus retrograde is happening in. And that is a very important time, or has been for a while, because you've had Pluto and Saturn going through there. So it will be perhaps the number one thing on your list anyway, but you'll have more there to reevaluate with Venus retrograding in that particular house. And it will be a time when you'll be asked to give more attention to that space as well, particularly if you have the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra and Capricorn. This Venus retrograde will be conjoining or opposite or squaring your sign, and that can be your sun, but it can also be your moon, your ascendant, or maybe even your Venus and Mercury. It will have its impact, but certainly more if it's your ascendant, sun or moon. And on a more personal note, if there's one thing I've learned through relationships, is that really we meet other people from our own separate reality. And this isn't always a bad thing. You know, we're told that this is not how we need to be. But actually, when we are in our own separate reality, we are embodying more of ourselves. And I know we all think we need to be one and unified. But actually, to be able to truly merge and truly develop that profound respect for one another, we need to actually really truly develop a profound respect for the confrontation, conflict and challenges that we will have with one another first and foremost. Once we can really do that without projecting and blaming, judging, denying, running away, abandoning, rejecting, then actually we are able to have more intimacy, more depth, more connection and more truth emerging through our relationships, because we feel we are more in our own being. We actually prevent ourselves experiencing true relationship when we placate other people, when we negate ourselves because we're looking for our desires to be met or to be validated or accepted or acknowledged in some way, our needs to be met. Our needs are important, they are, but we need to see and really challenge ourselves at what we we feel needs to be seen or recognized in us, as opposed to just blindly accept that this is what we want because our therapist or our friend tells us that. Often the shadow of Venus retrograde and Venus energy itself is this eagerness to really merge with other people, to avoid self-connection, to avoid really confronting ourselves. And so it's important to kind of look at that as well during this Venus retrograde, because Venus-Pluto in particular can be very intensely intimate. And we've got to draw this back to be intimate with ourselves and avoid just rushing into intimacy with everybody else, or drama with everybody else, and chaos. When we really begin to become aware, like I was saying, of these borders, edges, boundaries within ourselves, we find our own separate identity, and we are not then swallowed up by everybody else or everything else outside of us, including all of the mind-numbing, hypnotic media crap that's pouring into the collective currently. And so this is an opportunity to really have that relationship deeper with our own sense of self, where we begin and where others end. And I believe this is about becoming sovereign in our own being, becoming free from needs that we previously thought were important or relevant or at the heart of our lives in some shape or form. It's not always easy for others to value or really respect this underworld journey, this descent that people need to do. And wherever you are on the spectrum of reality or truth in terms of the collective messaging that's happening right now, it's kind of irrelevant when it comes to Venus retrograde. Your own descent is personal to you. Your own pain and your own experience is what it needs to be for you. So all of the ideas and the dogmas kind of go out the window now. All of the opinions are kind of irrelevant. We need to really have some honor and respect for this deeper feminine journey. And men also need to really value and not ignore the feminine when she returns from this descent, when their own inner feminine returns from this descent. Likewise, women need to be prepared to get in touch with more uncomfortable spectrums of the feminine, and this is going to make us more whole as opposed to more separate in our own realities. There is a lot of hope in these events that are to come, and yes, in things not going to plan, in restrictions, in obstacles, in our pain, in our suffering, and in the oppression. We've got to remember that this isn't taking away our inner light. It is giving it back to us, and it, in its way, in its crazy way, it is the purpose of awakening. Its purpose is to awaken our inner light. So it is the time to really let go of all victim mentality and really, really honor whatever it is you're going through, but that you're not a victim by any means. Everything can be either transmuted in some shape or form to become more within you. So if you want to have more personal information on this upcoming Venus retrograde and the Saturn Uranus, then please do sign up for the free online community on the sovereignbeing.co.uk website. It's free. And in that community, I will post on all the signs so you can get a little bit more detailed information as to how it will be affecting you. Enjoy this transformative, powerful time, and make sure you make it one to remember.